Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Friday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is April 9th. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I wanted to start with like a little tribute here.
Okay.
R.I.P. to a legend.
Absolutely.
Sad to see DMX go.
A legend of certainly our era. That was like an integral part of, I don't know, high school, college, late grade school. That was, yeah. I mean, that beat when you started playing that earlier, feels like it's been a long time since I've heard it. It's just immediately start like bobbing your head.
Stop. Rough Riders anthem was stuff that I that might have been middle school or maybe high school then.
I'm just
something else.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So that was a sad part of Friday, but
great day of golf.
On the golf front, it was a continued success at the 2021 Masters. We had some challengers rise up the leaderboard. It looked like Rose was kind of gagging it all away. It wouldn't even be. Not in the lead, but second, third, fourth. I mean, it was dire early on for Rosie. Thinking maybe, you know, he'd put Anma back in the bag for round two, just the way things were going. But, you know, a lot of challengers. He held on. Challengers kind of crept up. Mixed bag of guys. Guys we know have played well here before. A leash type. Spieth, obviously, is the headliner. Harman, who's played well in the last month, 3 months.
Has played well in majors, too. This isn't his first rodeo.
Yeah. And Will Zalatoris, obviously someone who's played well for a long time now, despite not having a card.
Non-member, Will Zalatoris.
We got a great DM from, I want to say, Max Zavochkin. He goes, do you think it's kind of unfair that, you know, Zalatoris is playing with less pressure because he doesn't have any points to protect this weekend? So he actually has less pressure. There's nothing to protect. No points.
Yeah, he doesn't have to worry about that extra 100 FedEx Cup points on the line.
He's unburdened. That's why he's swinging free out there. Why he's, you know, solo second, or T2 with Harman, I should say. 6 under. Great day. What were your initial reactions?
Awesome day. I think, like, you always wonder, when something like that happens in the first round, is this going to be a runaway? And rarely does that happen at Augusta. Sure enough, today the course was a little bit more scoreable. I think a little less windy, a little bit more receptive, a little bit easier pins. And all the names, for the most part, you want to see from where they were, like if they were within striking distance, rose to the occasion, really. You know, you saw Spieth, you saw JT, Finau. You know, it's just the leaderboard's incredible. Tomorrow is going to be awesome. And, you know, we should see people continue to separate. Yeah, Xander.
X-Man's making a push into the top 15. Now, I should note we're recording this as these guys are finishing up. Reed, Berger, that last group is on 17 green. Mm-hmm. DJ just putted out to miss the cut. Yeah, it does feel like there's so many opportunities. Someone else also DM'd us, or I think even just tweeted at us, like, it feels like the Masters, again, this is a purely anecdotal, recency bias, all that. The Masters is like one of those tournaments where it feels like more than ever, guys just go from +2 through on the front to like finishing up 3 under on the day. Like, it just flips so bad. Like, getting it back doesn't necessarily mean getting to even par. It could mean like going from 2 over to 2 under all of a sudden, and you were 55th, and now all of a sudden you're 12th, and you are right there. It just seems to happen.
I think it says that that cadence of the course, lends itself so well to it, where you've got some really tough stretches. I mean, 4 through 6 today was an absolute beast. Yep. And then you've got, obviously, 8's a good scoring opportunity, but then 13 through 16, you can play 5 under. You know, you could have a huge swing there if you play it well. And then 17, 18 aren't picnic finishers coming in. So it's just got such a good cadence. It's really incredible. This leaderboard's amazing. And I mean, today we had a guy who was at the time 3 shots off the lead break his putter. I mean, how amazing is that?
That kind of stole the show. I would say the afternoon was quieter compared to the morning. We had Spieth, we had Rose, a lot of these sort of...
I don't know if it was quieter.
I just felt like it was guys on cut line drama. It was DJ who's going to make the cut. It's Westy, it's Kepka. Yeah, but he was done pretty early. Siwoo, I would say, was the... And this, I made this point on our Bixby Hangout, which thanks to everyone for attending. If you're a subscriber, we're going to do more of those. If you'd like to subscribe, we had a lot of fun. Had some great contributions. Cody Branicky said, Brian Harmon looks like a plainclothes cop with his tailoring that comes to your school to talk to you about not taking drugs or things like that. Just great contributions from the sick shotgunners, sickos, whatever they're called. But I said this earlier, like, I think the mystique, like, I'm fine with the tradition of limited TV coverage. But now that we have every shot, there's camera roll of every shot. Like, that whole, like, mystique and the wall of it, like, has come down. Let's just put the rights out to bid for 10 8, that kind of 10 to 2 window or 10 to 3 window. And, you know, you make a bunch of money. It just, like, I know the origins and history of it. I'm well-versed in that and why there's limited TV coverage and the pain points and all. I'm appreciative of all they offer now. But it just feels like a professionally produced broadcast at this point, now that we can see every shot, wouldn't be that far a bridge or anathema as it would have been in 2000, 2005 even. So just, I'd throw it out there because I thought today was a lot of the action was early.
Yeah, the other thing, too, is like you add that telecast and all of a sudden you have more iconic Masters moments that you might miss because of, you know, not having it be televised or them not being in a featured group. Like today, it's awesome we can go watch all the shots, which I did, of Spieth and JT, but you got Spieth and JT playing in the morning, surging up the leaderboard, and they aren't in either of the featured groups. And it's just like, God, this stinks, and it's a major championship. And I think because they give us so much online with the every shot, they get a pass a little bit. But, like, if this was, like, think about when the PGA was on TNT. How much?
Bones.
Yeah. And granted, they didn't have the digital side of this. But at the same time, like, the telecast is nice. It's nice to have, like, someone taking you around to all the big shots. The every shot somebody who covers the sport, it's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
But it's better as a supplement rather than a main tool.
That you have to figure it out. Yeah. No, this not to be negative, all negative. Like, the streaming is excellent. It is so good. All the various products and the various, like, and the quality of it, it's excellent. It just felt like today, man, that 10 to kind of 3 range would have been great to have sort of a producer leading you around. So I would say, though, getting back to the original point, the afternoon felt like the biggest firework was Siwoo busting his putter. How did they... I mean, the guy is in contention, and we were in the middle of that hangout thing. We look up, and he's just rolling one on with his... Was it a 3-wood? Was that the actual club?
3-wood.
I think it was. Okay.
He was pretty good with it. He almost canned it on 16. And that putt on 17 was really good. I mean, that was a fast, tricky putt that he just cozied right down there.
He shot a 69. He held on 3 under. He's 4 under T6. So, I mean, have you ever had this happen? I mean, we've seen a couple famous instances. I mean, Woody Austin bent one over
Zach
his
Blair,
head, I want to say.
Zach Blair.
Where was that? Quail Hollow, maybe?
Yeah, it might have been Quail Hollow.
Streb at Greenbrier, wasn't it?
Yeah.
At Greenbrier, where Streb busted his putter. I think he putted with like a low 3 iron or something like that. I don't think or maybe even did the sole of the wedge, the bottom of the wedge. I'm not sure.
I think one time in a tournament, I actually started putting with a wedge because of how bad I was putting with my putter. I did it for like one or two holes. I putted much better, and I went back to the putter.
Presumably he will have something made up or brought in extra and not be out there with his three wood again tomorrow.
So one of the things I saw Justin Ray tweet earlier in response to somebody asked him about like top strokes gained approach, you know, Siwoo Kim's was at the time leading the Masters in strokes gained approach, and he was three shots off the lead. So I imagine that's probably where a lot of the frustration, this wasn't like just a one putt frustration. This was mounted over days of flagging shots and not making putts. given how good he's hitting it, you got to consider him as like putters turn around quick. Ball striking sticks around, putters turn around quick. If ball starts going in the hole, he could really put together a great weekend. This is a guy that won the Players and did it in pretty remarkable and boring fashion in the way he put away the field that year. And then the other times he's won big too. He won huge at Wyndham. I think he won by like six at Wyndham. I think that's where the frustration comes in.
But I mean, this is sort of the I don't know, the great kind of historical, fallacy that we've come to sort of understand with statistics is that we always thought it was like Gentle Ben, Jordan Spieth, and you got to be able to kind of guided around these greens and bombing these 40 footers off the slopes and around, you know, and like we've kind of come to understand that it is all about approach play, and even kind of a choppy putting week can do it if your approach play is that good. I mean, this is what stats have enlightened us on in the last, I don't know, decade plus.
This is, you know, honestly, I was thinking about it. Today had some characteristics that were similar to the Friday a couple years ago with the slide tackle and everything.
That's the all-timer.
We had Woozy on the bench.
Case.
Woozy battling for the cut. Woozy on the bench.
On one leg, on a groin injury. We might have a guest to talk to. First person account of playing with Woozy. He's sitting on the bench at 13. Garrett Morrison, incredible
I mean, this is like a Bernie Sanders type moment, like the meme potential with the Woozy on the bench. He could be everywhere.
Hey, can we just spoil it right now? Before I forget, because we got the stuff. All right, so we're having Jim Herman. He will be a guest. He's our Flashback Friday. And we forgot to ask him about Woozy on the bench. If you see the screenshot, he's like all up on top of you, like on the tee marker, this bench. You never see it.
It's 13th hole.
13th tee box. Presumably, you know, it's there for people to sit on. Never seen it in the course of the Masters, as far as I can recall. Garrett Morrison finds like pretty much every time they've been there, he's sitting down just lording over these guys on the tee box. And we asked, we forgot to ask him, but we got a text response saying, a guy was just gassed. He's like 63. He's got a groin injury. Not only did he sit on the bench there, he apparently was sitting in like the rocking chairs, the lawn chairs on 10 when they crossed over the nines under the picnic tables. It was just like, he was just trying to take a load off wherever he could. He was in the members' lawn chairs on 10T under the umbrella table. So that just wanted to note that before we forgot it. The many spots where Woozy took a load off on Friday and Thursday. So,
and I mean,
or what
this,
else?
This wasn't, we didn't have Kiradek falling down. We didn't have Balloon Boy coming out.
Slide tackle.
You know, we didn't have slide tackle, but we had Justin Rose, leader, you know, hit a putt from the fringe that stayed on the fringe. He was a good 40 feet away from the hole, and he had about 10 feet of fringe to putt through, and he didn't get it through the fringe. That
what
was
hole
an
was
incredible
that?
Shot. I think it was
three?
Four.
Four? Okay. Four. And then on six.
Yeah, he had the ball roll back to his feet.
Great pin. That was a good four after that. I mean, that was a good to get it up and two from, you know, very bottom of that hill. I thought six was a great pin. I'm looking at the statistics now. Obviously, toughest hole is 5, 5, 11, 4, 10, 1, 7, and 6. So six did end up, you know, it played over par, 3.234. But that was a great pin. Fun to watch that stretch. If you could just, that was where I really got hope for Woozy. Because he didn't get just absolutely blown out to sea. He somehow got through that stretch. Four was at 247. And I was like, holy shit. I mean, he's hanging in there. And yeah, the carnage, he just ran out of gas. The guy's got groin injury. He's torn groin, 63. Ball gets 10 feet off the ground. All right, what else happened Friday afternoon that amused you? What, you want to say something about Woozy?
You had all these runs.
Yeah.
You had Woozy going for the green on 13, which was completely absurd. We'll get more color on that later.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Then you had JT and Spieth surging, which wasn't in the telecast window, which is, I think, like, this is some of the issue, is, like, all that stuff that we were talking about happened in the telecast window on Friday afternoon. Like, a lot of awesome stuff happened in the morning when it wasn't the telecast window. You had Bryson just acted being Bryson. You had Adam Scott in a post-round interview, again, doubling down on his take, taunting Bryson, saying, yeah, I mean, he doesn't hit it that far, though. It doesn't go that far. He's swinging so hard at it. I mean, it doesn't really go that far, though.
I don't know who that was asking those questions. Yeah, somebody with, I think, an Australian accent, but he did not seem to be enjoying that person's company in any way, shape, or form. He's staring off. Really, does he look like that pissed? He's never, you know, bubbly. But he looked downright pissed and didn't want to, had no time to listen to, you know,
what if comments. Baton Boy did something early, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, he hit it 35 yards short on a par three. He was almost 40 yards short of the green, not of the green, of the flag, and threw his putter or threw his club down, bounced off the turf, and caught it with his leg. Amazing baton skills on the follow through by the motor mouth, who then. Motormouth boy on six. Did you see that? Little Sluman? No. Called him out. So Sluman must be doing like streaming coverage 4, 5, 6. And when he hit it on six, he goes, I missed it. And it went through the green. It went over the green, like lawn right. And McDonough, who's amazing at the, like, if you want to know the power and might of the Masters, you have Sean McDonough just happily taking streaming coverage of three holes, like in the middle of the front nine, right? I mean, the guy's done and everything, has a lot of tenure, is good at what he does. He's, yeah, I'll do a, you know, that only at the Masters is someone like McDonough doing that. But he just puts it, walks Sluman right into this, puts it on a tee, goes, huh. Well, he said he missed it out loud, very, you know, for everyone to hear. But then it went through the green. Is that, I mean, is that going to bother you? It's like, and Sluman's like, oh yeah, you can't be doing that. Like, that is not, that's not, as a player, you don't want to hear that. He goes, that's not helpful. Is it? And Sluman goes, not helpful at all. So they were kind of banning on the motor mouth ways of Billy. So he was an early kind of key, character, as he always is.
An underrated story that I haven't seen get a lot of play. Abe Anser, who gets assessed that penalty.
Yeah,
he comes storming back. He's even par. What a round! What a bounce back round! Shoots 3 under after tough penalty and turns his 73 into 75. And you know he's somewhat in the mix. I don't think he probably has as much of a chance as he'd have if he was at 2 under.
We recorded a little early. What did you think of that penalty last night?
It's the letter of the law, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it sucks, but
I didn't. It was far from a read situation. I don't think he could have known. I mean, was penalized because they said it was visible to the naked eye. So it could have been or should have been. So.
It didn't seem intentional in any way. And I don't feel like that amount, who knows though? Maybe you could feel that.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. You know?
Yep. Another thing that happened is Ollie hobbling his way onto the right side of the cup line, shot a 1 under 71. He's 2 over. So he will be playing.
Jose Maria Olazabal.
Olazabal.
Yeah. or Olafavel. Lots of ways he could go that way. You know, not a lot of people expected him to be right in the mix for Low Spaniard.
Oh, he is. I'm looking to see when the last time he made the cut was 2014. So a lot of MCs.
He's incredible performance today.
He's made only two cuts at the Masters since 2006. He's made the cut only twice. This is his third. And he, 2006, he was T3. Good Lord. You know, he just went from top five to just, that was it. He was kind of pretty much done. But great to have him in the weekend.
You had Thick Boy. Just doing Thick Boy things.
How about his quote? I don't have my tools here. I don't have all my tools. Let me try to find that. He's kind of saying the quiet part out loud. Like he can't play golf without his green books. He goes, "It's my biggest match for sure." Daniel Rapoport tweeted this. It's transcript talking about how he's met his match in Augusta. I mean, not having the help that sometimes I have on the golf course at other venues with greens books, and not having the calibration tools that I usually use, it's definitely a test and something I'm willing to stand up to and try to face the challenge and try and conquer it.
Oh,
it's an interesting challenge for me, and I love it.
Having to read greens with your eyes, you know, what a challenge. This is a challenge that millions of golfers face every fucking week. Like, get over yourself. This is like this is an elementary aspect of golf. This is not overcoming a challenge.
Calibration tools? They took my calibration tools away. What do you want?
So,
but hey,
to give credit where credit's due.
Yep.
I messaged the great Justin Ray.
Okay.
Said, hey, what are Bryson's strokes gain numbers? Now, this was before the second round is over, so this could change, you know, because it's all based on the field. He's plus 0.64 in round one and plus 2.12 in round two, his career best putting at Augusta National in the last round. So maybe he's figuring it out. We saw this with JT. It took JT a number of times around, like until last year, he had not really figured out the greens. And another guy that relies heavily on green books, you know, it seems like it takes, you know, four or five visits, you know, in the Masters to figure it out. And we're right there with Bryson now.
Where are you on JT right now? I think I saw a tweet from you that suggested he's kind of in that player zone. He lipped out like just a little bunny putt on 18 for a bogey to drop back to four under. But where are you kind of in the danger zone where you think he's kind of the favorite lurking
this? I might put him as the favorite right now. He's
okay.
He seems to be... Yeah, you know, the thing about it was he was in the middle of the round. He had played the par fives even, and I think he was in eighth place. So he's not even, you know, he took advantage of him finally on the back nine. But, you know, he hadn't been playing the par fives well, and he was right in it. And that's the scary thing. It's like that's what JT does about as well as any player on the planet. And, you know, probably the... two other guys that do it nearly as well as him. DJ's didn't make the cut, and Bryson is a few further back. So I would say DJ is probably my guy that I would tab as the favorite at this point.
It seems like there aren't any poofers in the top 10 or so. You know.
I wouldn't classify Harmon as a poofer, but he's not long.
No. Yeah, it is a lot of power players. The cheeseburger, the group at 4 under is great. The cheeseburger, who had the round of the day for a while there, 66. I think that's still held up as the round of the day. Finau, who matched him, JT, Siwoo, and Cam Champ and Hideki. Cameron Champ, how about that? Good for him. He's not played great, I don't think, coming into this. He's had some big numbers, I think, in the recent months, but that's sort of the Cam Champ experience, right? Like where he misses a bunch of cuts and then wins, you know, all of a sudden. But just his second Masters, I believe, and he's shot a 69.
He murders the ball, as we know, and he's hitting 75% of his fairways. So,
I'll get it
that's a lot of wedges. and from places that are very advantageous. So he's driving the ball great. And we've seen, like, when he drives it well and putts well, he's pretty tough to beat because, like, you know, that's occupies a lot of advantage you could gain, you know, when you do both those things well.
Yep. So we've talked about JT maybe as a favorite. Where are you on Spieth? He's 5 under. He shot a 68. And I don't mean to do the whole, like, cliche thing. Like, that honestly felt like maybe the worst number he could post today. He just looks so in control. Like, should have birdied 5, hardest hole in the course. Like, just left it a revolution short or so. Like, just the whole driving and tee to green is just feels like it's on a strain right now. And he, when he's missing, like, or
it's that wipe right when he misses, and that's good, you know, because that's like the ball lands soft. It's we aren't seeing the two way, we aren't seeing the ball go left.
It just feels like he's getting the ball to like every shelf or every right spot, even if it's still like, you know, it's a 2-putt par. He just, you know, a tap in par at 5 is good. At 6, he throws it all the way to the back. It just, then he gets a bonus at 17, he rolls in whatever, a 40 footer. At 68 just felt like one of the lower, the what about right? Could have been lower is what I would say. He's 5 under, he's 2 back. I think he'll be in the penultimate group now with Leishman, I guess it would be. No, or one of the fours, maybe JT actually. He might be in the third to last group. So
I think he's in. He would be in with Leishman.
Okay.
Because it's going to go. No, it'll go Rose, Zalatoris, Harmon, Leishman, and then Spieth and Weisberger. Weisberger was in first.
The cheeseburger, burnt cheeseburger. Yeah. Great big day for your guy. That great glorious nickname that you have.
How about that? Paulie talked me off him. I'm so mad about that.
You
I was
always
all
do
over
this.
The burnt cheeseburger.
These majors, you throw Paulie under the bus on one tip. When you it's like 18 holes in, and then it comes back, and Paulie's always vindicated by Sunday night, I feel like.
You want to hear something funny?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, when you have a website, you can track all these, like, analytics, right? And you see how many visitors you have, and, like...
Sure.
It seems like every year, the last couple of years, like... We've like gained foothold on SEO on this random 2016 article about long shots we love. And like people search Masters long shots and it's like on the first page of Google results. So people flood onto the Fried Egg website and they come to this 2016 long shots article. There's 5 guys, 4 of them are not in the field. But I'm vindicated that one of them is, and it's Bernd Weisberger. The Bernd Cheeseburger is a long shot we've loved for 5 years at the Fried Egg.
That's great. And
people from Google have been reading about it all the time. It's like Charlie Hoffman. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
I love that. Yeah, we would.
Jamie Donaldson.
When like a random would pop up to the top of leaderboard, you'd be like, who is this guy? A random for the, you know, the casual fan. And yeah, people just flock to that kind of crap. That's great. The cheeseburger. Good for him. Any other guys at the top of the leaderboard or within striking distance?
I mean, Finau's kind of came in under the radar. He hadn't been playing super great before this. And I feel like what he got to do was like skip all the questions and all the attention of like, why aren't you winning? And like, here he is again, like major championships. Tony Finau is just nails, whether he wins or not. Like we've seen so many great players like play great in majors for so long before winning. And he just is right there. And you know, last year's PGA, I thought he didn't lose that. Morikawa won that, and he played really well down the stretch, and he always seems to play well here at Augusta.
Yep.
And he's not even hitting the ball great. Like, it seems like, you know, he's missing a lot of greens. He's getting up and down a ton.
Yep.
What do you think about Zalatoris? A little pretender contender.
I mean, contender.
Non-member Will Zalatoris.
Contender. Of course he's a contender. He's Yeah, he hits the hell out of the ball. Tee to green, he's perfect. The putting's always been the issue with him. How could you say he's a pretender because of the whole first timer thing? I mean, that's just because
he's not a PGA Tour member.
Oh, okay, that's sure. But like we said,
he's not eligible for the FedEx Cup. So how could he be a contender? So
what if he got his green jacket and he's just like, it's nice to have, but I'm just so happy I can now have some points, collect my points, Courier Cup.
I was thinking about this last night. How baller of a move would it be to win the Masters, get the green jacket, and then you know how you get invited to PGA Tour membership if he turned it down? He's like, nah, doing all right without it.
I'm going to roam free for a little bit.
So Will Deitz found this stat. If Will Zalatoris finishes solo second this week, he will have earned over 1,000 FedEx Cup points. And what does that mean? Since nobody knows what that actually means.
Some amount of sumo oranges. I know we did the conversion one.
That would put him somewhere in the top 20 of the FedEx Cup standings. Asterisk. If he was eligible.
Not eligible. Not how it works. Whatever.
So he has to win to be eligible.
Yep. All right. So those, anything else? Who are contender pretenders you got? Anybody? I mean, they're all contenders. There's no one that jumps off the page to me. I guess my
Brian Harman.
Pretender?
All right.
Oh, I thought you were saying he's a pretender. I don't think I could say that. There's nobody I would.
You
there's
don't
nobody
think the
in like
cheeseburger?
The Harold Varner of Bethpage zone where it's like, it's just not going to happen. I know it. You know it. The cheeseburger did feel like it just kind of a hot hand for about two hours there. He got hot, and that may not be tenable going forward. I'll call him a pretender.
I was texting Pauly irate this morning, and he said, you'll thank me when he's T39 on Sunday.
Ryan Palmer in the top 15. How about that? Even without John Rahm. Feels like that's the Masters. That is the beauty of the Masters. It's a small field. You're not going to get the one-off guy who played well for a day and a half and is in your top 10. No, nobody feels like a pretender right now.
Tomorrow we're going to see real separation occur, I think. And it'll be interesting. It doesn't look like it's going to rain anymore. And it'll be interesting to see where they set it up and what it looks like. But we should see some real separation. And I would guess that at the end of the day tomorrow, we're talking about five or six guys that have a real, real shot.
Do you think Justin Rose is the leader again for the third straight round in a bed to go wire to wire?
If I was going to bet on it, I'd say no. What about you?
It's a lot of horses chasing him. I think it probably helps that he's playing with... Is he playing with Harman or Zalatoris?
Zalatoris.
Okay.
Probably helps that Zalatoris.
Yeah, it's not Spieth or somebody like that.
I mean, Brian Harman made Ricky cry.
I think that is... Wow, is that the least total combined weight that you could have in the final group of a Masters? I mean, those are two just little pencils out there. Zalatoris and Rose.
I mean, Team Rose hits the weight room.
I guess. They're just narrow
individuals. He's got to have some sort of a fitness sponsor, right?
That's true. He's
got a sponsor for everything.
What was the thing with the Olympics when the Olympics were canceled for Corona?
You're talking about a gold medalist.
He tweeted out like, well, the Olympics are canceled, but you can still buy this watch of mine. It was like, oh, thanks. Thanks for trying to hawk the merchandise over this horrible news. I know you love to do the syllables count, but that's a pretty leafy paperweight sort of group. Very thin. Thin boys.
Thin boys. Zalatoris. That's four syllable last name.
It is.
I didn't even have to clap to get that one.
Good job. All right, let's go to the folks, the gents heading home. Hey, anything else on, do you have anything on conditions that are pins or anything like that? I mean, we're hearing a lot about
setup's perfect.
They're game, the greens, they're losing them. They look brown. They might be losing them. It's all these commentators from, hundreds of miles away looking on TV. We might have gotten a tip. Should I say this? We might have gotten a tip from someone on the ground.
Unsubstantiated rumor.
unsubstantiated rumor, but a friend of the program, never been known to lead us astray, was there as a patron, standing on the 10th green, 10th tee, as a prominent player, maybe a former champion, walked off the 9th green on Thursday and said, went straight to a green jacket on the 10th tee and said, you guys have all lost, you have lost the 9th green. So that's maybe, we don't know, it's a rumor, maybe one player complaint about the greens maybe being lost, but I think it was great. I mean, it wasn't like, guys, it wasn't impossible, right? I mean, this wasn't everybody shooting in the 80s. It was fine. No complaints. It was scoreable in the right ways.
Hey, before we get to those who missed the cut, who are you happiest about making the cut?
I mean, Ollie's got to be up there. No?
Yeah, it's got to be. I think that's no slam dunk.
It's great to have a Masters weekend with Todd Watch. Like,
he's in the mix.
He could conceivably. Then they'll do. Are they allowed to talk about a guy who didn't go to UGA and not mention that?
No.
A guy who went to UGA is in the field. Are they allowed to talk about him and not mention that? Every time. It's just like no other school gets that all the time. I understand the events in Georgia, but I'm talking about it could be in Hawaii. It could be in California. Like, oh, two UGA guys. Oh, the UGA, a great player out of UGA.
Lots of UGA guys talk about that. Making waves this year. You got, you know, making the cut. You got Todd. You got Harris English. You got
Patrick Reed. Patrick Reed counts as half of a UGA guy.
Yeah. You got Brian Harmon.
Yeah.
I mean, lots of UGA guys in the mix.
Sure.
Sink's a Georgia Tech guy, right?
Yes, Dewey. Who are you most happy about making the cut?
I think I'd go there. I think, you know, I like Cameron Champ with the Lee Elder stuff, and Cameron Champ's been really outspoken about the racial aspects of golf, and I think that's a cool story. And you know, to his credit, he was out there early on Thursday morning. You know, watching the ceremony and everything, and I think so. That's someone I'm kind of rooting for this weekend.
Yeah, super damning and revealing story. When he was doing media, it was like how he went on the range at BMW with the names of people like Breonna Taylor on and Jacob Blake were on his shoes, and like all the people he said. Three or four people on the range asked, who are those people? Who is that? And that was at BMW in August, I guess, when that was obviously a fever pitch in the country. So Cameron Champ in the mix. Great to see him in the top six as it is. All right, guys who are going home early. Jimmy Walker.
Some cut carnage.
Will he ever play the Masters again, Jimmy Walker? I think his exemption from Baltusrol is out. Who knows? Maybe he sneaks in the top 50 in the world at some point.
You know, he's got that sneaky stat that he spent more, almost maybe the most weeks ever as the world number one.
Oh, FedEx. You still get 3 years of that gimmick and you still kind of get me. I like have to think about like, what is that stat? DJ, probably the biggest
wounded
one.
Duck.
What about him?
He missed it on the number.
Well, he missed
right
it.
There.
Yeah. Sergio now missed 10 of 14 cuts since he won at major championships.
Kepka.
Kepka, you know, that's not necessarily a stunner. Hopefully he didn't damage his knee too much. DJ, I think, is the biggest one.
It looked ridiculous that he was out there playing when he was trying to climb up out there. Like, what's... It didn't seem like a good idea when he was talking about walking lines.
Yeah, that never worked out. It just didn't. It almost felt like he played so he could quote tweet the Brad Faxon rumor that he would be out 6 to 8 months. He played just to get the impressions and the personal satisfaction of saying, I took that personally and memeing that up. That's almost, that was the payoff because it didn't seem like he was in shape to play competitively. And we don't want to see that. We would love to see him competitively, but it felt like it was just sort of thumbing his nose at the people who said he was going to be out a while. And that was the whole purpose of being there. But DJ's the big one. Not necessarily, I wouldn't say it's a stunner. It's a bit of a stunner he can't get in the top 50, but he hasn't been awesome this year.
It's still, like, the guy's a top 10 machine at Augusta. And once again, just every time I pick, like, a top 5 player this year in one and done, I get 0 points out of it. But he played like crap, you know?
Recent guys who've had the weekend off after hadn't have to come back for Butler Cabin. Sergio, I'm pretty positive he missed the cut. I know Willett, you know, was barely on tour almost when he came back. He certainly missed the cut. I mean, if you're DJ, he's going to be in Jupiter by, you know, I don't know, well before last call. He'll be in Jupiter by 10 o'clock tonight.
You think he flies down, flies back?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
He's got the DJ? House rental all weekend.
Oh, well, I think
family's probably up here.
I think he'll be fine. I don't know. Maybe Haynes out goes to the Waffle House. Haynes out in Augusta. I just don't think he will be. But
Westy, bummer.
Came back strong, made a valiant effort, a sportsman effort, 71. You know, but didn't get that close. Rory,
how? How awful does he look right now?
It looked like he was going to try to make it interesting, birdieing 13 and 15. And, you know, of course, there was a lot of work to do after. What was that shot on 10? I know it's downhill. It's not a comfortable lie. Did you see it into the bushes? He makes a six.
It was awful, you know?
So I was watching live from last night, and Brandel was talking about, in a weird way, not a weird, but he has an album on his phone dedicated to Rory and Rory Swain. And it's like
everybody's into something.
It's like his Swain every year of his life, like since he was like six. And Brandel just has these videos of his Swain. Loves it. Loves to go at it, look at it, be inspired by it. And he made the declaration on Thursday night that Thursday's first round was the most unorganized, chaotic he's ever seen Rory Swain. I think he's just kind of a mess right now. That doesn't mean he can't now win, you know.
He could win
PGA
at Kiwa
in a month. Yeah, yeah.
The thing, he could snap out of it so fast. He's so talented. But it's just, he hasn't been outside the top 15 in the world for, I think, 10 years now. He looks like he's going to drop outside the top 15 in the world.
Are we getting to... Or are we already in the sort of Ernie Els territory with him and Augusta and that kind of unrequited love? And he just is starting to I think he might not like it. Not the place or the membership proper, but just what it symbolizes, what it's done to him. The course, of course, fits his game and he should win there and all that. But I think he's kind of drifting into the Ernie Els territory of like, I don't like this anymore. I'm not sure I can do this.
I mean, he's only 31, which, right. You know, Ernie had these issues, as he called it, a fucking nightmare.
Well, I mean, yeah, he made those grand declarations in recent years, but I think it was kind of he felt that way much earlier, right? I mean, a decade ago or so.
I've got a love-hate relationship with the place. It was always almost like a curse to me. When a thing stings you, it keeps stinging you, is what Ernie said.
Oh, man. Yeah, so Rory's, I think, was kind of the big bummer. Not unsurprising, but just sort of... Well, we had someone suggest, is there a pack curse? Because I guess Spieth was the head of the pack in 2018. And is this just sort of like a heavy as the head? Like you're too distracted? You know, he was the pack leader in 2018. I don't know.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you think deep down Billy's looking around as the town crier thinking, hey,
how do you get on Billy Herschel?
Rory might be out as the Prince of Pontevedra since his comments. Might be out.
He's going to assume the throne?
Yeah.
He could be. He'd probably like nothing more. That would probably be the highest honor of his career.
He'd oh, Billy. That.
Oh, Billy.
You really did it this time, Billy.
I missed it. I missed it. McDonough indignant at him talking about that. Oh, by the way, I think it was Matthew Kirby that sent that theory of the pack curse. So au revoir to Rory. Woozy didn't make it. So as much as we tried, I mean, it was so fun to watch. It's so great there.
It was incredible. He was flagging stuff. He was a machine out there. We're going to hear more about that at the end of the show.
You ready? You have anything else you want to add?
Well, no, we'll put it in there. We'll put a bow on this.
This is our flashback Friday. We're flashing back to like 5 hours ago when it felt like Woozy was going to make the cut. Precision Pro Golf, we had a flashback set. We don't want this to be an hour. It's hour long. Precision Pro Golf has come in for the season, the year, to sponsor Flashback Friday. We've been giving you these every week. I've been using my rangefinder again. I got back out there this week, played a little bit earlier in the week. First real time using it. Fabulous. And you like the vibration? Yeah, that's the big thing. On. The pulse vibration. Because otherwise, I'm just an idiot. I could be shooting.
You could be over clubbing yourself.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's on the NX9 slope that happens. They have slope adjusted distances, obviously. That seems like, you know, it's called the slope. They would have that. Pulse vibration and the magnet. If you're on a cart, you just want to throw it on the cart, stick it to the pole or whatever it is. I love the pulse vibration. This week, 2021 Masters Tournament. It's $21 off that NX9 slope using the code MASTERS21. $21 off. That's a significant amount of money for, I will say, a rangefinder. That's not going to like
break
gouge
the bank.
You. Oh, yeah. God, I had no sense of this market, you know, until it's ridiculous. But this is a prime combination of value and quality. Masters 21, $21 yeah. off.
Support a company that supports independent podcasts, too. Like, that's a great thing.
Yep, absolutely. So this is our, I will say, I'm going to save this actually for next week. They did some beta testing. There's some testing. We have some data back on other customer service. Experiences. Let me just say, there isn't anybody out there like Eric taking the calls, getting back to you ASAP. Some amusing returns on this little experiment of some of the customer service. But our Flashback Friday is an interview with Jim Herman, made the cut, talking to two raving idiots.
Complete idiots. Agreed to talk to two idiots about Woozy.
The Masters Tournament. He's made the cut. He's playing the weekend at the Masters. And he's got two idiots bugging him about Woozy. He gave us some great insight into the course, how it was playing for him, how it was playing different from day to day. And then, of course, a little bit with Woozy. We might have had to cut a little bit because
Didn't want to get anybody in trouble.
Yeah, Woozy's got might have a mouth, and we didn't want to get anybody in trouble. So let's run it. Are we good? Anything else?
Yeah.
Thanks to Jim Herman. Here's interview with Jim Herman. I'm playing with Woozy.
Hopefully we'll see Jim Herman surge up the board tomorrow.
We now welcome in Jim Herman, who is playing in the current 85th edition of the Masters Tournament, a multiple-time winner on the PGA Tour. He has made the cut at Augusta National this weekend. Jim, thanks so much for joining us. Congrats on the first 36 holes there.
Yeah, thank you. Not a problem. Nice to come on with you guys.
Yeah, great playing today.
How was it?
Yeah, you know, when you shoot four over in round one, you know, you got to put up something, you know, under par. Didn't even know exactly what it would have to be, but two under, it looks like it was good enough today.
What was the big difference between today and yesterday? We're seeing a little bit better scoring today. Granted, it still seems very much a challenge. What made the difference between today and yesterday? Is it pins or is it firmness?
Just firmness. The greens are still putting really, really quick, but it's just that sun was out all day yesterday baking the course, especially in the morning and in that early afternoon. The course was just baked, and that little bit of firmness makes a big difference. You know, it's still difficult, but just being able to predict the bounce a little bit better than we could yesterday.
Was this what you expected? I know you went up there in March a little bit and we started hearing rumors that this was going to be as firm and potentially as challenging a Masters in a while. Is it kind of what you saw in March or have they dialed it up even more? Or
it's totally different. I think they have ways of ratcheting it up.
Sure.
You know, at moment's notice, I suppose they, I was here a month ago or so after the Arnold API, and it just no comparison. So
yeah, how does it compare to the last time you played?
2016 was, you know, I don't remember. I know it was a lot chillier, so I think the wind was up and it was a cooler week in general. So I think it was just in general it was just cooler, and I don't think they had the heat to bake out the greens like it was. But I was so on cloud nine 5 years ago after winning Houston the prior week that whatever happened at Augusta was just going to be a bonus. And I didn't play terribly, but I just missed the cut by a few.
I don't know if you know this, but this podcast is the preeminent Ian Woosnam fan podcast. And we saw you played with the Living Legend this week. It seemed like he was battling on the cut line. Talk a little bit about his play out there.
Ian was, you know, just grinding it out. He wasn't 100% healthy. He's had a groin pull and was struggling to get around. Obviously, everyone knows how hard of a walk it is. And, you know, he would struggle, you know, get up there, take a practice swing and just pipe it down the middle. It wasn't, you know, what we're used to seeing, but, you know, he was getting it around. Putts, he was making putts, especially yesterday. He was getting it around, making some birdies. You know, through like eight holes yesterday, I hadn't made a birdie yet, and Ian's got a couple birds, and you know, I was like, come on, let's go. You know, he can do it. And he was great. We had some great chats. He was talking about how the pint might help him loosen up a little bit. I'm sure he's having a couple right now, but good man. I really enjoyed playing with him. I had a great group, Stuart Sink, great man as well. And it was nice asking Ian some questions.
Was there, I mean, he's, it seems like every birdie, given the injury, given his age, he's obviously done a lot of things in this game. Were there, and he's playing from just some spots that are just seem, given the firmness, seems so hard. Were there some shots that just kind of left you in awe? Like, how is he getting it around here?
Well, I was totally shocked at how many times he went for greens on par fives. I mean, he had no qualms about pulling out the lumber and throwing a three wood or a five wood into these greens. I mean, there was no layup. I mean, he did not lay up, I don't think, on any of these par fives. I mean, it was on 13. I was like, he's going for that. I can't believe that. Good for him. You know, I'm debating how I'm going to try to get a five iron on the green or, you know, in a good spot. And he's just throwing that three wood up at the green. So good for him. And, you know, he's the swashbuckler and, you know, just going for it, giving it all he's got.
Andy Maker asked a question about kind of the trajectory.
It seemed like watching all the shots, the great thing about Augusta, you can watch all the shots. It seemed like his trajectory, he just couldn't hit the ball high enough to hold a lot of the pins. Like, you'd see him land it right in the perfect spot for most players, but his trajectory was just a little low coming in, so it'd skip over the green.
Yeah, that's definitely the, you know, just the biggest benefit of distance is not always just the distance off the tee, but those shorter irons coming in. And, you know, he had some longer irons, hybrids, five woods coming in. And like you said, they just kind of just not a fair fight sometimes, but he was able to get it around, scrap it around. Chipping and putting was just a wonderful putting expedition. So wow. Exhibition.
All right.
Jim, we told you no more than 5 minutes. We've already violated that. We want to wish you luck the rest of the weekend, and hopefully we see you skirt up the leaderboard and get in the mix for Sunday.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it so much. We'll be rooting on. All right. Thanks again to Jim Herman for indulging our idiotic takes. Anything else on this Friday?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you for a couple predictions.
Okay.
Who's the guy that's maybe even to two under that you see making a leap tomorrow? You know, one of these guys is going to go out and shoot 65, 66, and it's going to be a factor that, you know, nobody's looking at right now.
Even to what was the second
say
part?
even to two under.
Okay. Is it too cliche to say Morikawa? What about Fitzpatrick?
I was looking at Morikawa. I mean, I think he's got all the tools to really play well here.
Or Cameron Smith.
He's right in the mix.
I mean, Cameron Smith was going to set like the course record today until it just came apart quickly. It's the course record until you know have to play all 18 holes, I guess. But
your dad called him thick boy.
Well, my dad apparently is now listening to this quite a bit, this podcast. He goes, is he doing, like in a very serious way, is he doing the thick boy thing, Brendan? It looks like he's put on 25 pounds. He's living life. Is he chasing this thick boy stuff? It made me laugh. But yeah, he, you know, it looked like he was going to shoot like 64, but again, 2 under. It's hard to pick from. Fitzpatrick's even. We've seen him, you know, lead the tournament in birdies before. We've seen him post mid 60s round at Augusta National. So I think Fitzy is a great choice there.
Corey Connors, sneaky CT machine Connors, has played well here.
Yeah.
Yep. He's a stripe show.
What do you make of the term moving day? Seems like it's just like a thing they, for them to say day. On the broadcast.
It's just a crush to lean on. Did you hear Faldo on the telecast?
No.
They did that like little tiger montage towards the end. Yeah. And then he goes, and we laid down for 2 minutes and 57 seconds. And many say it was my best work ever as a broadcaster. I lost it.
That was good. That was a great comment. But yeah, moving day tomorrow. Anything else? Who's your guy? Morikawa, that group?
I was thinking Morikawa. I don't know if Thick Boy could do it. He played quite the round today.
Yeah, I think there's too many mines out there, too many minefields. It just comes undone and he gets on tilt a little bit. So.
Hideki have any shot?
No. As much as I'd like to see him, it feels
the
so
putter.
Tenuous.
The putter is just, there's no, it's kind of like watching Westy on the greens where you just never expect a ball to go in. Every putt, no matter what the like, you're just on edge about.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, that does it. Anything else you want to say on this Friday evening?
No, thanks for listening.
Soup to nuts. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the Bixby Hangout. That was a blast.
We're
going to
do more of those. Sign up.
Subscribe. We'll give away some coffee-making apparatus.
I think I probably owe a million bags of coffee at this point.
Let's not bring that up. All right. Maybe so thank you guys for your support.
We got to figure that out.
Yeah. You know what we haven't asked for in a while? Does rating and reviewing do anything?
I don't know.
Do we even know? Rate and review if you want. You don't have to. We're not going to hold a gun to your head. But yeah, thank you for your continued support. Kind words, negative words, whatever you got to say, it all helps. But we'll be back continuing with all weekend long with a daily podcast.